Welcome to the Specify Growth Podcast. I'm your host, Tats Nakagawa of Castagra Products. Each week, I talk to leaders and experts about how to overcome adversity, grow massive organizations, and how to create meaningful change in the building materials and construction industry. Today's guest is Robert Puharich. He's the associate producer at our very own Specify Growth Podcast. Rob, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Tats. I'm excited.
I mean, you've seen this more than anyone else, being producer and writing the articles that go along with it. How does it feel sitting on the other end?
It feels great. It feels like a long time coming. Just before I got on, I went and checked. I've actually listened to 294 episodes, and some of them much more than one time. So we're over 300 listens here. So it's about time I get on here. I feel pretty good about it.
The only listener to the show.
Oh, no. We know that's not correct.
I know you've progressed so much in different ways. I know that, you know, just even getting on the show is a bit outside your comfort zone. Talk me through that. I mean, give people a sense of where you were before and what you've been sort of working on to become more comfortable in this type of, you know, setting, like recording, speaking, and all that stuff.
I've been a longtime high school teacher, which is a position of public speaking, but it's a little bit different because you're sort of the person in power and dealing with younger students. So to get to this position, I've had to go through some significant personal development. And it started through Zoom meetings like this. I started meeting some people, and then I was recommended to try Lunch Club, which was an excellent, it was a big step meeting other people in entrepreneurial positions and positions that are comfortable because I've been doing it for a while. And then from there, I reached out and I networked a lot, and I had meetings come up with people that were in various industries, various levels of experience. So I got to meet with them again in a one-on-one setting. And then the big one was to get on social media, which as an introvert is extremely difficult, putting myself out there and speaking about things that I was confident about until I got on camera. And once I got on camera, it was like, I felt like I didn't know what I was talking about. So I've been on this journey of personal development. I've come up with some sort of practice accounts on YouTube and TikTok, and I'm still working on it, but today is another big step in my journey. I'm definitely uncomfortable being in this position, but you know, as we've spoken many times over, if you want to improve, you want to get better, these are the days and the things that are going to help you get there.
Awesome. Yeah, I love your passion towards personal development. Now, I mean, a topic we've talked about a lot is mentorship, the importance of, you know, finding a mentor, but also giving back, you know, because we all have different skill sets that, you know, we possess that we can pass on. I mean, I don't think I've ever asked you this, but I mean, well, who are your early mentors? Your very, very early mentor.
My very early mentors, and I didn't even know they were until, you know, recently when I did a little more research on mentors and mentorship, were teachers. I enjoy people that lead by example. That's just the way I work. I like to work hard. I like to do things. And when I see people doing them, I kind of gravitate that way. So there were people that I treated as mentors. I didn't even know that they were my mentors. They were just doing their job and doing it really well. And then I just kept asking more and more questions. And finally, when I mustered up the courage, I'd ask more personal questions. So I think it was teachers that really got me passionate about what I was doing before. And then I've come across a few people that I've followed online. And then most recently, you've been a big part of my personal development and sort of helping me take my potential and head to bigger things.
And you said lead by example is a good one. But I mean, I know that like different people respond differently to mentorship, like, I mean, stylistically. So for me, if I had to think back, I respond very well in situations where people give me tough love. Like they're very, very upfront, very candid, very direct. Those are the mentors I probably got the most out of. But stylistically, I'm pretty candid, but I'm a little careful on how I deliver it, when I deliver it. And I'm aware about, you know, people's tendencies when I deliver it. Where I've done very, very well when I put myself in situations that people are very, very blunt. No, like, you know, sugarcoating, but very, very blunt. I mean, have you noticed something like that for yourself?
Yeah, my first taste of that was coming from my parents or my father mostly. So that's kind of culturally and been part of my family is kind of sharing it like it is. From a mentor's perspective, I mean, for the things I've done in the past, I've been very comfortable in those situations. So I was okay taking information like that and I could adapt it and understand it. But most recently, going way outside of my comfort zone in terms of what I'm doing, that hasn't really come around just yet to a higher degree. So
let me try to interpret what you're saying. You got enough of that as in your home life, you appreciate a little bit of tack navigating the uncomfort zone. Is that kind of summarize it?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's fair, right? I mean, you got a boatload of that stuff. So, I mean, you know, you always want different things, right? So that makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely. And one of the things on the back end is that when you get it, it's really important that you correct it and that you implement it. Because if you don't, then you know there's more coming. So it's best to just do it.
Yeah, for sure. I think, I mean, that's the key, right? I mean, obviously, working with someone that like sort of delivers it in a way that sort of stylistically works for you. And then also, what can you do on your end to be able to take that feedback constructively, right? You know, understanding that they're not saying that you're a bad person, like, you know, and you're a failure. Yeah. That, you know, we're just trying to improve. So you're not bad now. You're not trying to prove yourself this very second. You're just trying to improve, which I've heard from someone before, it's just a constant reminder, I think. Because sometimes in that moment, no matter what, I find it stings, right? You get better at it, but it stings.
Yeah, and it takes that moment to really think about it. And, you know, sometimes it stings, like you said, but you have to understand the bigger picture. And when it's coming from a mentor, I think a big part of having a mentor or following somebody is the respect. So when you respect the person that's speaking to you, it really gets past the point of stinging pretty quick. And it says, okay, this is what I need to do. This is how I can implement. This is how I can get better. And they really want what's best for me. That's why they're in that position to start with.
That's true. I mean, it's not respect in terms of authority or expertise necessarily, although that's important, but it's just, as a human being, do they care about your success and have they demonstrated that in a genuine way?
Absolutely. And that's why it's really important to pick your mentor as well. It's important to understand, you know, who you're getting feedback from and make sure it works for you before you get in that position, as it'll mean so much more.
What are some things from various situations you've learned that's really stuck with you? Like maybe, is there a story, like learning situation that you were in that really stuck out?
Well, most recently and in the past couple of months, as I've been working through some of this stuff, I've really followed the 1% better rule. And this is something that, you know, it's been spoken of very much so. And I've learned it a lot from you, is that you will make mistakes. They are going to sting at times. They are going to involve other people, sometimes people in positions that are way ahead. And it's really important to understand that you are just getting 1% better, and every mistake is a learning experience. So even if it didn't go your way, it's really important to make sure it doesn't happen again. However, that learning experience will compound and it'll keep on compounding to that 1% better. And over the course of 2 or 3 years, as has been the case in my situation, I feel like I've come so far in 3 years, but it's all the little 1% gains that I've made that have really brought me to where I am.
Yeah, the whole marginal gains thing, right? I'm fascinated by that, especially with the British cycling team and all the things they were looking at. Like, what was it? Like, they would not make their athletes carry the luggage so they don't get injured. Or they had, you know, they figured out what temperature, you know, they operate the best at. And they had I think they had pants that maintain that temperature. I mean, just obsessive things, right? Now, you know, in the practical sense in most people's lives, I mean, you don't need to get that extreme, but there's all sorts of different things. And although you can't win every day, if you turn it into a game, I think it's kind of fun to find those little things that can improve quality of life.
Yes. And what I found is it's really fascinating to look back. So even a month or 2 months or a year to see where you've come, because it's easy to forget. And I'm guilty of that. I kind of have my head down and look forward a lot. But when I'm reminded, I do look back and say, oh, wait a minute, this is what happened 6 months ago. Or I look at something I wrote 18 months ago and I see how far it's come along. And it didn't just happen overnight. It was just compounding efforts and compounding learning and these marginal gains, as you mentioned.
Yeah. You told me once about, what was it, a fitness one? I think it was a story regarding sort of the gym and stuff like that. And it was a good story. Can you tell that for me?
Yeah, absolutely. I was 16 years old and a little more closer to 17. I just started working out, or I heard my friends were going to the gym. And so I thought I'd sign up, and it was one of those paid gyms. So it was like $35 a month. And we're talking 20 years ago. So that was a lot of money. So I was working and paying the gym. And so I went along with the group, and it was a bunch of teens at the gym, and the bench press was a cool thing to do. So the other guys would bench press, and they could put some weights on, they can lift the bench press bar. And that was 45 pounds plus some pounds. And when it was my turn the first time around, I thought it was going to be easy. And I got up there and I laid down and I got my hands in the right positions and I lifted the bar and it came down. And when I was pushing, it wasn't moving. So I was like pushing and pushing and I'm shaking, and I see everyone around me is kind of wondering what's going on. And I'm shaking, and it was the worst feeling in the world. I was just pushing and pushing the bar.
Do you think you're going to die there at that bar dropping on your...
I thought that the world was going to collapse and that everyone was going to laugh at me. So I got help going up there, and they got the bar up, and everybody kind of laughed and said, "You can't even do it." Because I was one of the taller, sort of bigger people already to start with. So there was an expectation that I didn't meet. And I went home and I just wanted to curl in the ball, and it was the worst feeling in the world. I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to show my face again. So, one day I realized that, it's not going to go away. So I persevered and I went back to the gym on my own, and I worked out and I kept trying and trying and trying, and I got stronger and stronger and stronger. And, a year later, after working really hard, I became one of the bigger and stronger people. And for the next 20 years, I was one of the bigger and stronger people. And that moment really defined to me where I was in that situation and where I could be. And that's a story that sometimes I remind myself, like, it's going to be hard when you start, but it doesn't mean that it's going to be hard forever if you put in the time and effort. And it was really a life-changing moment that I didn't know at the time. And I wouldn't want to relive it, but I see the benefits of it in the long term.
Yeah. I mean, some of those early lessons kind of stick with you, don't they?
Absolutely. And again, it's the way you feel and the way people make you feel that you remember. And I didn't like that feeling. And with whatever it is I do, I don't want to have that feeling of disappointment anymore for myself and for others, which is sort of what drives me.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, one of my early mentors, and I learned a lot from this individual. I worked at an athletic facility that was connected to a university. It was a very big one. They had 8,000 members, and they were having some of the issues with the staff and some, I guess, I don't know. I mean, the manager that was my mentor is very, very strict, gave it to you very strict, almost to some people's opinion, way too strict. And one day she decided to basically just clear house and basically fired the entire staff. Wow. And I remember being there because I was doing my job. I was, there's other facilities that I was in charge of and stuff like that. And she goes, no matter how good you are, you can always be replaced. And I think you could take that many different ways, right? Like you can say that, this person didn't appreciate people and all that stuff. But the way I took it was that, don't ever get too comfortable with your abilities, no matter how good you are. Mm-hmm. You always have to stay humble and stay on your toes and continue to work hard. And that's kind of stuck with me. I mean, I think you could read that different ways. And I think part of, taking a message is just having kind of a baseline mindset to be able to accept it in the right way. And for me, that landed the right way. It was the right message at the right time. And I've always kind of remembered that. It doesn't matter how good you think you've become at something, is that humility is extremely important, because you're never one step away from, doing something stupid. And just to be careful with that.
That's an excellent example of mindset, because it would be easy to find the negative in that. And you pulled out the positive. So perhaps that's an example of how you are, or it's an example of what you learned. But it's really interesting that, you took that angle on that comment, because I can see very simply how people saw that as a negative.
Yeah, I think I'm generally positive, but I think it helps to be around positive people, right? I think, they always say all the time that, you are the average of the people that are around you, right? They say five people or whatnot. There's something to that. But I think it's not just, I think they've that saying is commonly kind of referred to in terms of like the average success level. The way I also think about it in terms of not just like the people, but the interaction, right? Mm-hmm. So you may be around someone that's maybe slightly negative, but maybe you're too positive, right? And maybe that collaboration between the two makes you better. So I think it's not just like, hey, you're around like five successful people in your definition from business or life or whatever. It's just, how is that interaction and it, do those people make you better? Do you understand them? And can you, are you collaborating with them? And is 1 + 1 = 10 kind of thing, which sort of to me comes to mind.
Yeah. And that's been really brought about, or it's been easier since the online world's kind of taken over, because finding five people that always are positive or always in the same pursuit of things for most of the day around you is kind of hard. But with the online world, there's communities and groups and meetings that you can attend that really amplify that and have been a big part of my change, because I have access to all these different groups of people who are pursuing certain things, and I can kind of pick and choose what works for me. So I can absolutely see that average making a difference, but I can also see how we can now increase that advantage a lot simpler.
Yeah. And I think one of the skill sets you have is writing. You're very, very good at writing. You're very, very accommodating styles. And you've been exposed to some very high-end editors and stuff. Walk me through like the personal development behind that, because you've had to work with marketing departments and, you know, world-class editors and stuff like that. I mean, you know, that's not a small thing. Walk me through your emotions and your learning through that process.
I started with a simple blog. I wanted to give back to the community. So I started a blog and I kind of got into the writing thing, which I never really did sort of publicly. So I got into it, and then, you know, one thing led to another. As anything else, the more you write, the better you become and the more you improve. And I met some people. And then when I started writing on some of your subjects, I was definitely exposed to a new level of people. And those included, yes, a professional publisher or editor, which completely marked up my paper, which it came back in red. It was like back in high school where the paper came back in full red, which was an absolute great learning experience. But the imposter syndrome that I felt at that moment was very high, but that was more than a 1% gain there. I became 10% better there. And then I've dealt with, you know, professional marketing companies or departments, and I've dealt with billion-dollar companies. So it's been a journey. It's been very successful in terms of improvement. I've become better. I'm definitely getting more comfortable now reaching out to almost anybody, but it started with a simple little blog, and it kind of turned into what's soon going to be a book. So it's a pretty cool experience.
Yeah, for sure. Another topic I really like is the reverse mentorship stuff, which is you can learn both ways, right? I mean, especially I think a lot of times some people think mentorships are older. And I mean, I've had a lot of mentors that are younger than me as I get a little bit older. But what are your thoughts on reverse mentorships where you're helping people, but then they help you back? So it's like a two-way relationship.
Well, one of the ways of learning is to teach. You know, you kind of learn as you teach. And I think that's just a different way of doing it. You know, you can give ideas and examples, but the examples you get back or the situations you get back are also learning experiences. So the way people respond is teaching the mentor as well, because not only the human nature, but the scenarios and situations are different. And everybody has something to give. Everyone has a different background. Everybody has seen something different, and everybody responds. I mean, going back to how you responded to that comment, you could ask four people and they'd probably have four different responses. And I think you could learn from all four people to form your own opinion. So, you know, you've told me before as well, take any meeting, because you never know what you're going to learn. And I think that's a perfect example of, you know, you're helping somebody and in the same time you're helping yourself. Although that's not the ultimate goal, it's still always going to happen.
Yeah, for sure. Any more on this topic? You wrote a paper on sort of the mentorship, and you sort of put your thoughts and other people's thoughts together. I mean, anything else that comes up on something that someone should consider when looking for a mentor?
One of the things that I wrote about, which I found really interesting, was we're often in pursuit of a mentor, and we're looking for somebody that will work for us or that we kind of think is a good fit. But we often forget that we can also attract a mentor. And there are certain skills and qualities that a mentor would like to see, but it's on us also to always stay, you know, busy, stay kind of doing what we're good at and what we like to do, and bring out those characteristics that would attract a mentor.
You don't know what it is, right? You don't know what it is. So if you keep putting yourself out there, trying your best, being the best version of yourself, not trying to be someone else or someone that would end up in a magazine article.
Yeah.
I feel like an authentic relationship can be formed like that.
It's really important to be prepared. That's another one, is preparation is everything. So being prepared before you have a mentor, being prepared for meetings with a mentor, and just always, you know, putting your best foot forward will lead to those situations. So you never know when you're going to cross paths with somebody that can help you. And it doesn't have to be too far down the road. You just need somebody that's one step ahead. And I think one of the sort of things that we can consider when we look at mentors is like, who's been there and done that all. But we just need someone that's been there and done that next step. We don't always need to go straight to the top. On the flip side, what are we doing to attract these people, and why would they want to work with us? I think we can all keep that in mind.
And sometimes you can't think of a reason, right? Imposter syndrome, whatnot. And then what do you have to lose by trying? I mean, many of these people that are in situations that are, like you said, one step, two steps, three steps ahead, didn't get there by themselves. And they remember a time when they were asking, they're wanting to get to their next step. And there always has to be someone that gave them their first opportunity or their next opportunity that really propelled them to the next level. And many of those people are very grateful and they remember. So you never know unless you ask.
Absolutely. And that's the hard part sometimes. And as you go and have more mentors and speak to more people, it kind of becomes a little easier. So I think especially that first mentor, the first time that you're uncomfortable, that's the big one. Is the worst they can say is no, as you mentioned. And most people want to help. So even if they don't have the time to mentor, they can probably answer that one question, or they can, nobody's going to say go away. It's usually at least a nice answer.
Rob, anything that you wanted to say or I didn't ask you that you wanted to comment on?
Yeah, I'd actually like to ask you a question. Sure. I mean, you've been mentoring for a long time now, and I know you've mentioned you work with a lot of people. What is it about mentoring that really excites you and interests you? I know you're busy and you got lots to do. What keeps you coming back for more and taking on new people and helping new people?
Well, I like to improve, but I like to help other people improve too. It's just something about it. I mean, maybe it's my sporting background or whatnot. When you coach, right, you just see improvement, and you guess with improvement becomes, I mean, let's say just simplify it to a sporting context, it just brings people more joy, right? Like if you get, you're a soccer player, Rob, like, you know, kicking around, that's okay. But when you get better at something, you generally enjoy it more, right? You hit better shots. Maybe you score, maybe you don't, but maybe you make a few better passes, right? Maybe you get better exercise. There's just a very tangible result that comes from that. And, you know, it's especially easy to see that. Like if you're running an organization, sure, you can see those things. There's KPIs. But when you are directly involved with someone, A, you know a lot more about their background story. There needs to be a great deal of trust. And there's a bigger ability to make an impact on that. When you put an article out there or you put general advice out there, it's very hard because, you know, there's a lot of assumptions that are occurring. And sure, when you are one-on-one, you still only get the tip of the iceberg, but there's a bigger chance that you may be able to help someone directly. And one of the things, I mean, I think I've talked to you about it plenty of times, is my big thing is helping people is fun, right? And I feel like the best way to help as many people as possible is not fill an auditorium with a lot of people and do a speech. It's just help good people that are, you know, get better at helping people, right? So, you know, I'll make sure I don't mess up the math here. If I help two people, right, help an extra 1,000 people a year, right? Like over their lifetime, help an extra 1,000 people a year. Over 20 years, that's 2 million people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Rob, if I said, hey, look, let's go impact 2 million people, you'd be like, well, how do we do that? I mean, that's really stressful. I'm introverted and all these eyeballs of people that are on me is stressful. But if I said to you, hey, make an effort to take the time to help two people this week with questions they had or things, to take a meeting with a student or someone that's new to entrepreneurship or someone that's struggling with the skill set that you have, and help two good people a week, you're going to say, well, that's not too hard, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel like there's a cumulative effect, just like when we say, or we're trying to improve ourselves 1% a week or 1%, well, that's doable for everyone. If we had to double our capabilities every week, we'd be like, no way. But mm-hmm. if it's 1%, and that's like the low-end target, most people say, okay, that's possible. I could find something that I'm doing to do better. I could read this, I can exercise over here, I can do that. I think it's just, I feel like, you know, that's the way to do it. You know, some people are masters at large groups, you know, they have tons of charisma, they're wonderful storytellers, natural storytellers. But for me, that's not it. And where I think I can make an impact is, you know, whenever possible, taking the time with good people that are trying to do good in the world and making the time, and they're just kind of plugging away for a long period of time, I feel like I can make the impact that way. So that's what excites me, because I can see an improvement. Rob, when we've worked together, what's been exciting is you said, when I look back 6 months, I see quite a bit of change. When you look back at the first video that you did, just try to get yourself more comfortable with, you know, giving advice and putting yourself out there in a different way, you look like a deer in the headlights, just like I did when I first put out the video, right? And, you know, I told you to keep that posted because, you know, it's a reminder for yourself. And it's also a reminder for other people that are used to seeing, you know, entrepreneurs or people put in a spotlight that they just showed up and they were awesome. So I love talking about failures. I love leaving the stupid videos that I do that looks really bad up on the internet, because I don't want anyone to think that there wasn't a progression in all of this.
Excellent. It makes complete sense. It goes back to the beginning. However long that beginning was for somebody, it's always the beginning. You're right.
Us as individuals, no matter how good we get, we can't forget the way we were when we first started.
Absolutely.
Rob, anything else?
No, that was excellent, Tats. I'm happy to get on. It's a big, big learning experience, and I appreciate every minute of it.
Awesome. That was fun.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening to the Specify Growth podcast today. Make sure you check out youtube.com/TatsTalks for video of today's podcast. Hit the subscribe button for upcoming episodes.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.